All right, my name is Scott, if you don't know me, and we've been studying the book of Numbers in the last few weeks, and it's been great. And, you know, the book of Numbers is, when we think of the book of Numbers, some people think it's a very boring book, right? Because numbers, now, who likes to deal with numbers, right? But only Peter knows, only Peter likes it, but Numbers is just a book about the Israelites' journey through the wilderness. And it's a continuation of the story when they left Egypt and going through the promised land. Okay, so just a brief review for those who have not been here. So, you know, they were free from Egypt, and they traveled across the Red Sea, going through here and camp here in Mount Sinai about a year. And then the book of Numbers started when they're ready to leave to go to the promised land. And so God prepared them, gave them rules, instruction, what to do. Okay, it's because they were like about two or three million people going to the promised land. So God had to be specific what they, you know, he want them to do. So, anyway, let's go to God with a prayer first before we start. Father God in heaven, we're so grateful, so thankful to be here this morning. Father, to have another day to be with you, Father, to worship you, to come and learn about your word, to fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Father, it's so good to be in your kingdom, to be in your love, to be in the light, God. Father, we thank you so much for your word, which teaches us. Give us direction, give us wisdom, Father. God, help us to understand your word the way that you want us to understand it, God. Help us to impact our hearts so that we can change, God, to be more and more like your son. Father, be with me as I teach your word, God, as I present your word. I pray that you will speak through me what you want to say, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we've been learning a lot, right? A lot of stuff. So I want us, you know, when we study the Bible, it's not just for head knowledge, right? We want to let it impact our hearts so that it can help us to grow, help us to be more like Christ. So let me ask you, so what have you learned so far from our class, Numbers? Anybody? Please. Any takeaway that you've gotten so far?
I guess just in general, that the book of Numbers can be relatable to us. A lot of times the really early Old Testament books are intimidating because I feel so separate from them, but there are real life applications.
Okay, this real life application?
God will provide
for our needs. God will provide for our needs. Okay, who else? Okay, being grateful and complaining. So we started here at the Mount Sinai when they started to leave, and they went through the wilderness. Remember, they complained about not having enough water and food. And then we got here. In chapter 13 and 14, they're about to go into the promised land here, right? They explore the land. Just recap, chapter one, the census, and then chapter two, the arrangement of the camps, the Levites. God talks about the Levites and how they were separated from the people. And then the census of the Levites, chapter 5, 9, preparation to promise to go to the promised land. And then chapter 10, that's when they start to leave Mount Sinai. Chapter 11, complain about the wilderness. Chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron complain. 13, exploring the land. Remember, 12 spies were sent out. 10 were faithless. Only two, Caleb and Joshua, were faithful, and God blessed them and they were able to go to the promised land. And the other 10 put fear into the people, so the people complain and rebel, and so they did not let them go to the promised land. For 40 years, they had to wander around in the wilderness. And then chapter 14, the people rebel. And chapter 15, last week we talked about offering to God, how important that was, right? And also intentional and unintentional sin. The difference is repentance. Okay, the difference between intentional and unintentional. God will forgive those who repent. Right, everybody's sin, but God will repent. We will forgive those who repent. Chapter 16 talks about Korah and some of the leaders who rebel against Moses and Aaron, and God killed them. And we can learn the lesson that we need to obey our leaders. Chapter 17, God shows that God's leaders are chosen by him, and he put out 12 staffs, and he chose Aaron's staff, and his staff blossomed. And so we can see that God's leaders are the one that are chosen by God, and we can see their lives, the fruit of their lives, the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know the leaders, God's leader, who the God's leaders are, by the fruit of their Spirit. And also, you know, it's God's leaders are chosen by God. And chapter 18, the last chapter we did was the duties of priests and Levites. And we learned that only the priests and Levites are able to serve in the temple, in the tabernacle. Okay, so this area, God chose the Levites and the priests to serve in the tabernacle. Only the priests can serve in the tabernacle. The Levites are to assist, but not to go into this holy area. Okay, this holy area is very dangerous, and only the priests can go in there. Anybody come too close there would die. But you know, when Jesus, you remember when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the temple torn in half. That means that when that curtain was torn in half, that we are able to go to God directly through Jesus. You know, that. So we talk about, you know, that's a tabernacle. Okay. Today we're going to continue with chapter 19. Chapter 19 talks about obeying God's instruction, and God knows best. Let's go to the Bible. If you have the Bible, please turn to Numbers, chapter 19. Okay, let's read chapter 19, verse 1 to 14. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Give it to Eleazar and the priests. It is to be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence. Then Eleazar, the priest, is to take some of its blood on his finger and spring it in 7 times towards the front of the tent of meeting. While he watches the heifer to be burned, its hide, flesh, blood, and offal, the priest is to take some of the cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet wood and throw them into the burning heifer. After that, the priest must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. He may then come into the camp, but he will be ceremonially unclean till evening. The man who burns it must also wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he too will be unclean till evening. The man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of heifer and put them in ceremonially clean place outside the camp. They shall be kept by the Israelite community for use in the water of cleansing. It is for purification from sin. The man who gathers up the ashes of a heifer must also wash his clothes, and he too will be unclean till evening. This will be a lasting ordinance, both for the Israelites and for the aliens living among them. Whoever touches a dead body, if anyone will be unclean for 7 days. He must purify himself with water on the third day, and on the seventh day, then he will be clean. But he does not purify himself on the third day and the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches a dead body of anyone who fails to purify himself defiles the Lord's tabernacle. That person must be cut off from Israel, because the water of cleansing has not been sprinkled on him. He's unclean. His uncleanness remains on him. This is a law that applies when a person dies in a tent. Anyone who enters a tent and anyone who is in it will be unclean for 7 days. And every open container without a lid fastened on it will be unclean. Okay? So God gives specific instruction about cleanliness. Okay, God said, okay, you gotta kill a heifer, that's a young cow. And you gotta burn it and get the ashes and mix it with water. So when someone is unclean, you can sprinkle that water on somebody and they will be clean. Okay, so when you come in contact with a dead body, you are unclean. Okay, God give instruction what to do when you come into a situation where it's unclean. So, you know, God knows best. Even, you know, God gave this instruction about in the 1400 BC. And then in 1870, when they realized about bacteria, infectious disease spreads through bacteria. Okay, and there was this guy, his name was Enos Semmelweis. So he worked at a hospital, and he realized that, you know, the people, the doctors who deliver the babies have more death than the midwives. And they realized, and he observed that, and then he said, okay, the doctors, you need to wash yourself and put on clean clothes before you come into another patient. And when they did that, they saw the decline in the death rates. Because the doctor worked with sick people and post-mortem, and then they come in contact with other people, and that's how they spread the diseases. See, the point is, God knows it before we can find out. 3,300 years later, that man can find out that diseases can spread through bacteria. See, God knows best. God knows before we do. Even sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, to do all these sprinkling, it doesn't make sense. But take God to do it. You know, and sometimes it doesn't make sense when God tells us something in the Bible for us to do. It doesn't make sense to us. But God knows. See, God, the Bible says, you know, we are not an accident. God formed us in our mother's womb. God knows exactly who each and every one of us are. And he knows how we operate. He knows our sins. And in Jeremiah 29, he said, God has a plan to bless us, to give us a future. That's what God wants, all of us. But we have to follow his instruction. We got to do what he says. See, God knows our lives well in advance before we do. I mean, sometimes we act like we know everything, but God knows everything. Okay, so that's a point there. We, you know, the water of cleansing. Let's go to chapter 20. Okay, chapter 20, verse 1-3. It says, in the first months of the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Sin. They stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord? Why did you bring the Lord's community into the desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates. There's no water to drink. Okay, so again, after 37 years wandering in the desert, people still complaining, right? 37 years, you know, you would think they would learn something by now, right? Wandering the desert for 37 years. And see, they still don't trust in God. Wow. What does that tell you about human nature? You know, sometimes, look at our lives. We see what God has done, and sometimes we still don't trust in God. We still complain and not trust in God. Right? And then, let's go to verse 6. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of the meeting, verse 6, and fell face down, and the glory of God appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring the water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me wholly in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. There were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, where he showed himself holy among them. And so, you know, Moses went to God, and God said, hey, bring this staff and talk to the rock, and water will gush out. And what did Moses do? He struck the rock, right? God gave him specific instruction, just talk to the rock and the water will come out. Moses did not follow God's instruction. He did not. He said, should I bring this water out of the rock? Right? So he said, I'm going to bring the water on the rock instead of saying, this is God. God's going to do it. And God said, you did not honor me. You did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of Israelites. See, God wants us to honor him with our lives. Right, whatever we do, we cannot say, hey, you cannot give credit to yourself. Give credit to God. God is the one who gives us the energy, gives us the health, gives us the intelligence to do what we do. But sometimes we don't even think about that. We think, oh, it's my effort, it's my intelligence, it's what I have today is mine. But if God did not give us the breath, we cannot do anything. When we are sick, you see how weak we are, right? Just a little cold. Please help me. I can't get out of bed. You know, God will humble us. Just one virus and we are gone. So we got to give God's honor. God's honor is due to him, not us. We were We were created for God to glorify Him. That's our whole purpose on this earth. We were made for God to glorify Him. Not for ourselves. Okay? And we look at Moses. Why did he do that? All this time. You know, he is so close to make it to the promised land. And he just one action changed his eternity. One decision to disobey God. I'm not sure if he did it on purpose or not. But just one action changed his whole life. One decision. Decision to walk away from God will change your whole life. Decision to make God Lord of your life will change your whole life. It's changed my life, you know, about 30 years ago. Never turned back. You know, and praise God. I mean, God has blessed me tremendously, you know, just decision to follow God. And because of his anger, just one time, anger is very destructive, guys. When we're angry, we're not controlled by God. We're not controlled by the Spirit. We're controlled by Satan. You know how people are angry all the time? They don't have the Spirit in them. You know, people rage, fits of rage. When we're angry, we're not in control. And just one word or one action will change us, who we are. So, you know, my son, he's a very angry, my younger son, he has an anger issue. So I teach him, when you're angry, what do? You don't stay in that situation. You walk away and you pray. Cool down before you, you know, talk to someone. Because when you're angry, you're not going to say anything nice. You're not going to do anything nice. You get in trouble. Okay, let's go to verse 14 to 18. The Edomites. Okay, verse 14 to 18 says, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, this is what your brother Israel says. You know all the hardships that we have come upon us. Our forefather went down into Egypt, and we lived there many years. The Egyptians mistreated us and our fathers. But when we cried out to the Lord, he heard our cry and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Now we are here at Kadesh, town on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through our country. We will not go through the field or vineyard, or drink water from any well. We will travel along the king's highway and not turn to the right or to the left until we have passed through your territory. But Edom answered, you may not pass through here if you try. We will march out and attack you with a sword. The Israelite replied, we will go along the main road, and if we or our livestock drink any of your water, we will pay for it. We only want to pass through on foot, nothing else. Against the answer, you may not pass through. Then Edom came out against them with a large and powerful army. Since Edom refused to let them go through their territory, Israel turned away from them. Okay, so do you remember who the Edomites are? The Edomites are the descendants of Esau. All right? Esau and Jacob were brothers from Isaac. Remember Jacob, he stole the birthright from Esau? Esau was older, right? And he deceived Esau and stole the birthright. So they had conflicts since then. Right? So my point is, they are brothers. The Edomites and the Israelites are brothers. And so the Israelites, they're about to go. Let me turn back to the map here. Okay, this is where we are here, at Kadesh, right? This is Edom. They wanted to take a shortcut through here, right? But the Edomite didn't want them to. So they had to go down here and go around. Okay, so it would cut their time. But the Edomite didn't allow them. Okay, let's go back. Yeah, so, you know, because of Jacob's, how Jacob treated his brother back then affected the Israelite now. Right? I think the Edomite has a history of who the Israelites were, who their brothers were. Because they would, you know, the Edomites were mistreated. So now, they're not willing to help the Israelites. They're enemies. So my point is, our sins can come back to haunt us in the future. What we do now will affect our future. Our decision now will affect our future. Will affect our children's future. Right? Our actions will affect the people around us in the future. For example, you know, if you work in a company and you serve customers, your actions is very important. How you treat the customer will affect your company, your business. If you treat them nicely, they will go out and spread good words about your company, right? And you have more customers. But if you don't treat them nicely, then of course, you know, you're not going to have a good business. So our action affects our future. What we do, make decisions today will affect what will happen in the future. So how you treat people now, it will come back to you. You reap what you sow. Right? Okay, let's go to chapter Numbers, not number 4. Number 21. Let's go to verse 4. It says, they traveled Mount Hor, 4 to 9. They traveled from Mount Hor for along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, no water, and there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone who has been by a snake and look at the bronze snake, he lived. So, you know, again, people complain, right? Complain and they had no water. And why did you bring us out of the desert, Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, and they complain about the manna, the miserable food, right? And God was angry with them. And God sent them snakes to die and to kill them. See, God hates complaining. God hates it it's offensive to God when we complain. When God has blessed us and we complain, that's offensive to God. Because He's the one who gave us to provide for us, and we complain. That's why He sent venomous snake and to kill them. And so they came and to repented and asked Moses to pray for them. And then Moses prayed, and he said, "Okay, God said, make a snake and put it on a pole, and when whoever was bitten by a snake, just look at the pole, look at the snake, and you'll be healed." And also in John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus also mentioned about this. He said that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that anyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. So Jesus was referring to back to this time when the Israelites were killed by the venomous snakes. So Jesus is our snake on the cross. When we look at God hates sins. Why does God hate sins? Let me ask you, anybody, why does God hate sins? Barry?
Because it's rebellion against Him.
Rebellion against God? Shen? That's right. Separates us from God. Mm-hmm. See, God loves us so much. You know, he doesn't want us to be hurt. Just like our children. You know, we don't want our children to be hurt. Right? Well, those of us have children, we want the best for our children. And sin hurts us. Sin kills us. You know? And that's why we see the world is all messed up, because people don't obey God. And it's a rebellion against God. But God has a better plan for us. That's why He wants us. He gave us Jesus so that we can go back to Jesus. So that we can have a chance to go back to Jesus. So whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. That's why God has to send Jesus down here to die for us. You know, it was a difficult sacrifice for God, but God has to do that so that we can have a relationship with Him. And we can have a future with God. Okay, that's all for the class today. Thank you all for listening. I hope everybody got something from the class. I just want us to think of what we've learned and put it to practice. Amen. Please go pick up your kids. Be back in about 5 to 10 minutes, and we'll start the service.